You're waking up with Pete Sargent on AM 1050 WLIP.
WLIP morning show Tuesdays around here means Dr. Russ Brewer, Care Animal Hospital of Pleasant Prairie. Dr. Russ, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Pete. I'm doing great. I'm ready for some postseason baseball to start today.
2 o'clock. 2:08.
Right.
Yeah, I get those great day games at Wrigley Field in the playoffs.
It's actually my favorite time of year for baseball.
You know,
because these games 100% matter.
Oh, that's true.
It's not like during the regular season, like, they kind of, you see teams get behind and they just kind of let it go. And because it's like, why? It's game number 5 out of 162. So why break your neck?
Right. Well, you know, and the Cubs and Padres is an interesting vibe. Not that I was around in 1984, but it was a short series. Started at Wrigley Field and day baseball only in 84
right.
for Cubs and Padres.
For the Cubs, right.
So, Cubs looking for a little revenge from...
Revenge games are always
41
fun.
Years revenge, ago.
Yeah, well, there's more to that. We don't have enough time to unpack all that, right?
Yeah, exactly. We'll save that for another segment this week. But
So I do want to shout out today, though. So I don't know if he's listening, but today is my dad's 85th birthday today.
Oh, nice.
So happy birthday, Dad. Enjoy the baseball.
Enjoy it. Full day of it for you.
Full day of it.
And does he have any of his favorite teams still in the playoffs? Or
no.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oddly enough, and you and I would not agree with this, he's a Cards fan.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. Talk about making yourself unpopular with multiple groups of people.
Well, the thing that is, growing up in Kansas back in the, 40s and 50s.
That was your options.
Right. And he could listen to it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cards were, they were great
back
then. They had some phenomenal teams, phenomenal players. So I understand it. So I cut him a big swath there of, leniency because the Brewers weren't around back then.
Yeah.
They would have been the Cubs' rival.
I saw a map of Major League Baseball prior to the Braves moving to Milwaukee, actually, so up to the early 1950s, and they just had this little oval, kind of St. Louis to New York City, and that was the entirety of Major League Baseball's map. So
until it started to expand further west,
right?
And it's
right.
just it's interesting to read through the history of it.
So. Definitely. Anyhow,
but back to a silent topic.
Oh, I see what you did there. Transitions are my job. No, that's fine. Talking about hearing loss in pets today.
Absolutely. And this is something that I think we all take for granted because it's you can't tell.
Right.
I mean,
are they ignoring me or can't they hear
right.
me?
Right. You can kind of tell, if your dog's limping, you can see them limping. And if your cat's bumping into things, you might go, maybe they're not seeing things all that well. But if they lose their hearing, how do you know that they're just, are they just selectively ignoring you or
right.
they outright just can't hear? And we don't, there is a hearing test, but it's not great. So, pets lose their hearing for a lot of reasons. They lose them as they age, just like we do. But we don't have hearing aids for your dog or your cat.
But you don't have the little ear horns they put in there?
No, they don't.
Too bad.
So, it's one of those things that over time, their ears are really sensitive. So they have a much larger scale of, sounds that they're going to lose. Mm. So they're going to lose a lot of things. But there are other things that could cause hearing loss. Ear infections. So they can physically have things wrong with their ears. So that can damage their eardrums. That's part of what happened to one of my dogs. Mm. She has chronic middle ear fluid buildup. So it's persistent otitis media. And we had to actually do tympanoplasty. So we would go in and puncture her eardrum and suck the gunk out. And after doing that about 3 or 4 times, the eardrum scarred to the point where she can't hear.
Yeah.
So we've had to adjust to that. Detecting hearing loss. First thing, they're not responding to their name as usual. So if, you walk in the house and you're calling for your dog and they're not coming, that's always a warning sign. Start looking around going, where's the dog at? They incapacitated somewhere and you find him sleeping. It's like, okay, well, they're asleep. Yeah, you wake them up and they startle. So it's startling when you approach them. So they don't hear you coming. That's our the dog that Dr. Wilsey had when we got married. she lost her hearing, and we knew that she couldn't hear us because the apartment we were in had one of those super heavy, like, fire-rated doors. So when the door to the apartment closed, it sounded like, you know, you were being sealed in.
Yeah.
And it was giant ka-thud, and she wouldn't wake up. Now, crack the refrigerator door, that's a whole different thing. She'd jump up, come running from anywhere, but she could smell that. So sleeping more soundly, not waking up to noises that alert them. And then for the dogs, barking louder. So all of a sudden, like, their bark changes. So the question there is, vocal cords are, that, you know, if it's louder, it's because they can't hear themselves. It's like those of us that don't have hearing aids.
Happens in humans.
Right. Yep. All of a sudden we're talking really super loud and they're like, hey, you know, maybe you should go get your hearing checked. So some of these things, and I've got clients all the time that come in and go, I think he's hearing loss, has hearing loss. And I'll just do something simple, like snap my fingers behind their head so they can't hear it. They can't see me, but you should see their ear start to twitch. Mm-hmm. So at least you can say, okay, they're hearing something. Now, you can't really assess, like, which tones or those things. But what do you do? And that's really, you have to make some adjustments. So first one, use hand signals. Mm. And this doesn't have to be, like, there's no sign language for dogs, right? So it's not like there's a specific thing. But, you know, just trying to figure out a way to communicate. With my little dog, I basically, if I'm trying to get her to come outside, I'll wave at her, and then I get down to her level and, like, start motioning towards me, act like I've got a cookie in my hand. She's got cataracts too, so she can't see real well, and she's like, oh, wait a second, I think you've, you know, so she'll come running because she thinks she's going to get a cookie. She usually does get one anyway. Rely on vibration. So you can sometimes stomp on the floor, do those things to get them to turn around at least to look, and then you can wave to them. If they're outdoors, you can use a flashlight to signal to them. And there, I've had some clients that have done that with their dogs. It works. If they're deaf and you're outside and you don't have a fenced-in area, please use a leash. Because I've taken my little one out in the yard, and you have to be able to. And unfortunately, she's old and she's slow, so I don't have to really run to catch up with her. But in her younger years, she would just put her head down and get going.
Yeah.
And you'd have to put your wheels on and chase her down. So, you know, if you've got a big enough dog that's faster than you are, don't let them loose in the yard without a leash, because they may just take off and they're not going to hear you to come around. Routines. And this is the thing, like, just keeping them on a schedule, feeding them at a, you know, particular time, taking them out on a routine basis, walks, playtime, because the more scheduled they are, the more they're going to get in the routine. It's like, oh, it's time to get up and go. You know, so it actually kind of works in your favor. You don't have to communicate with them enough because it's scheduled. And then just positive reinforcement, treats, touching them. And of course, if they're asleep, don't go pat them really hard, because it's going to just, you know, it's like if you were sleeping, you would want somebody to come over and just nudge you.
Yeah.
Not whack you one.
That
right.
Pinch so, you.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Not that jab in your ribs to make you jump up. Just a gentle touch to get them to kind of, like, raise an eyebrow to go, what? And then they're like, oh, it's time to get up. They don't know anything different necessarily. And if they're born deaf, they certainly don't know anything different. But, you know, the reality of it is, dogs, we've talked about this, don't know, well, pets as a whole, cats and dogs don't live in the past or the present. They live in the now. And if you're deaf now, you're just deaf.
Mm-hmm.
So we're the ones that go, gosh, you know, back in the day, she used to be able to hear this or that. They don't ponder that. They're just like, I can't hear you. And, you know, they start looking and they adjust. So it's up to us to just adjust with them. So don't ignore the signs. If they're having problems hearing you come in the, you know, not hearing you come in the house, not hearing you call their name, get them in. So first thing would be for us, we do physical, because we want to make sure that their eardrums look okay, that they don't have a middle ear infection, that they don't have a bunch of fluid in that middle ear. And if everything seems okay physically, then it is potentially just nerve ending damage. And it's not common in younger dogs. I mean, there are genetic problems with deafness that can occur earlier. Certainly, if you've done some of the dogs that aren't normally white that come out white, they're more prone to being deaf. But get them checked up, because sometimes there's something that we can treat, such as an ear infection. But if it's turns out to be permanent hearing loss, that's okay. Just a little patience and trying to modify your schedule and make sure that they stay on a routine schedule, and just trying to use your hand and body language and, you know, some gentle vibrations to get them to, and they're okay, because they're okay with it. If there's food, water, and playtime, what are they've got it made, and
right,
that's what they want anyway.
Right.
They're just there to make our lives better, even if they're deaf.
Well, very good. And I suppose come, you know, some of the louder things that happen that can be troublesome, that's actually a benefit, right?
So one of mine that lost her hearing used to be terrified of thunderstorms, and the only thing she was then terrified about was lightning.
Oh, there you go.
So if there was no real bright flashes, she could care less it was storming, which that was a bonus.
Yeah, there you go.
So there is a bright side potentially.
There you go. We'll leave you on the upside and the silver lining on that part of it. Dr. Russ Brewer, Care Animal Hospital of Pleasant Prairie. Always appreciate the time. People want to learn more, maybe make an appointment. How can they do so?
Well, then give us a phone call at 262-694-6515. Check us out on the web, careanimalhospital.com. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as Care Animal Hospital of Pleasant Prairie.
Dr. Russ Brewer, Care Animal Hospital, thank you, sir. Enjoy your week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday morning.
Pete, see you next Tuesday.
728 WLIP.